Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In many of the households here in this congregation, there's a really significant debate that happens. It's this: who is going to take the garbage out? Yeah, okay. There's a family that has that already assigned in the back row. I see that. And we don't think all that often about garbage. I don't think, at least in our family. We have a few scraps when dinner's finished on the plate. When dinner's finished, and we just scrape it into the garbage. We don't think all that much about it. It's gone. Plastic wrapping that can't be recycled, packaging that can't be recycled, we also throw into the garbage. And there isn't a second thought about why we do that. Used napkins, used paper towels. I don't think any of us reuse those things. I hope not. Those land into the garbage as well. We don't think all that much about the garbage until it starts to smell. That banana peel in the garbage. That's actually not so bad. The cottage cheese that went a little south and smells up the refrigerator. The yogurt that's got that strange color to it on the top doesn't smell so good. You throw that in there. And then to top it off, this speaks to my family, a dirty diaper. Then you begin to think about the garbage a little bit. And if your family's like my family, there's someone, and I'm not going to say who it is, there's someone who goes and ties the garbage up. It's in the bin, and there's kind of a, we have a bin, and then there's a bag inside the bin. Someone ties it up nice and tight and puts it either by the front door or back by the slider door. They don't even have to say anything to anyone else in the family. It's very clear. No more garbage can go here in the sack. Someone's got to take out the garbage. Garbage can become a health hazard. Garbage accompanied with such things as mold and mildew, fun stuff, germs, toxic chemicals, pests of various kinds, pests of various shapes and sizes, it becomes an issue. It's a health issue. Then it becomes a very serious question, a very pointed question. Someone has got to take out the garbage. That question that's in the household, I think of every person here that's gathered here tonight for Good Friday, is related to a question, theologically, that's in the death of Jesus in John chapter 18 and 19. The question is a little different. It's this: who can take care of and rid us of our sin? Who can do that? I actually didn't realize this, but Scripture actually compares sin to garbage. We also take sin very lightly sometimes. We have an unpleasant thought about someone that's really sinful, and we think it's not so big of a deal in time. Time will heal all wounds. Time will take that away. More than that, we can have a word that we say that hurts, and we think it's not that painful. They'll overcome it. It's just a word, not a big deal. Or we have a deed that we do, and we think no one else saw it. It didn't harm anyone across the country. It's not that big of a deal. But here's the thing. Did you realize that our sin stinks? Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, says this, speaking as if it's God. God says this: these people and their sins are a stench to me, an acrid smell that never goes away. Isaiah 65, verse 5. Sin stinks. But it's more than just a smell. Sin can actually hurt our health, emotional well-being, relational well-being, our overall outlook on life in general. Sin stinks. It hurts us. And we'd like to think that we could deal with our sin like we do our garbage. You know, like we do in my household. Tie it up on top, put it by the front door, maybe even take it out to the garbage around the side and be done with it. And it's gone forever. But here's the thing. This is just truth. You can't take out your garbage, the garbage of sin. I can't take out the sins that I've committed. Good Friday is about who can take out the garbage. One person. Jesus. Let's pause for a moment and take in the crucifixion of Jesus. Maybe you've read this before, but this is just, you can search this, it's documented. Crucifixions were brutal by the Romans in the first century. We know the process that it took, that they took to put criminals onto a cross. The first step in the process was to pin someone onto a cross, and they did so by driving spikes through the feet and then spikes through the hands. It wasn't pleasant. And as soon as the criminal came up and the cross was uplifted, the person's chest would sag, and it brought great pressure onto their lungs. The natural response of the human body in a crucifixion is to put pressure then on the feet so that you can move your backwards so that your lungs can take in air. The common reason for death in crucifixion was suffocation.